Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Wednesday, January 8th, 2014. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is here. Hello, Yvonne.
Yeah, hello.
I should say it's just after 3 UTC, because I tell people that all the time now. And guess what? It's time for our annual prediction show.
It's the prediction time.
Last week we went over how we did in our 2013 predictions, and we're okay. Not as good as we did in 2012, but not bad. Not bad.
But in our defense, we had padded the numbers a little bit.
In 2012?
Yes. We had made some predictions, that were, let's just say, highly unlikely. I mean, we were pretty certain that, we were going to be correct on those.
I mean, the Earth will continue to exist. U.S. and France will not go to war.
Right.
Things
along those lines, yes. We went and we avoided doing that kind of those kinds of predictions. The thing is that, it's okay because it's like, we're going to our prediction show. I'm going to show you like the total opposite of making those predictions. Okay, all right. Which I got. We'll go through these categories, but you
prepped with real solid predictions.
I prepped with real solid predictions. Yes, I did some research of what other people were predicting.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I picked up some stuff on like the economy and like technology. It's just interesting stuff that I found.
Also spent a little over an hour, about an hour, thinking about what I wanted to make predictions on. In some cases, I wrote down what my actual predictions would be if I needed to do a little research. In other areas, I was just like, hey, Yvonne and I should make a prediction on this, and we'll leave it up to, as we do it on the fly.
Right.
What we've done the last few years is have several categories: politics, the economy, tech, international, and then sort of a hodgepodge section where we throw in anything that we forgot in the first few sections,
right.
or other, like we've used that section to make personal predictions about what either one of us would do or not do over the course of the year. We've used it to make predictions on sports or entertainment or things like that that don't fit into the other categories. So anything along those lines. So with that intro, let's take a quick break. We might as well. And then we will be back and start in earnest on politics. Sound good, Yvonne?
Sure. Let's do it.
Okay, here we go. And we're back and ready for politics. So
politics.
I've got a number of categories in here. Do you want to – why don't we alternate which one of us starts talking about a category?
I think in politics you got to –
Do you think I should go first in politics?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Okay. So let's – one preface thing that came up in our prediction show – our review show last week. So what do we count as a prediction as we go through here? Now, here's my take on this. My take on this is any definitive statement that is made that we do not explicitly say is not a prediction is a prediction. I know you wanted to only make the things predictions.
No. We have to call that we are calling a prediction. Otherwise, I mean, shit. I mean, what? If you said it's 3:30 UTC, I don't know, something, then that becomes a prediction?
Well, it has to be a statement about the future year. So the fact that I said we're recording this just after 3 UTC, I can't be like, I got that one right.
Oh, God. I don't know. You're killing me.
My name is Sam Minter. Got that one right.
Yes.
No, they have to be factual statements, definitive statements about what we anticipate will be happening in the next year. We don't have to use the word prediction. That's how I want to do it. But if you insist, we can say we have to say the word prediction.
I think we have to say the word prediction.
Okay. So anticipate that I will over and over ask you, is that a prediction?
Yes, that's fine. Because if I go and I say, well, next year looks like it's going to be a good year. Oh, is that a prediction? I'm like, no, wait a minute. You know.
Okay, let's get going. So I did a few things. Unlike last year, this year's an election year.
Oh, that's right. It is an election.
It's an election year.
Crap. How about that deal?
So I started out with what I think is going to happen in the Senate and the House.
Okay.
Now I will say that I have not done a lot of research on the makeup of the House, the makeup of the Senate, who's obviously the whole House is up for re-election, but who's retiring, who's staying in the Senate, who's got an election, who doesn't. I haven't spent a lot of time looking at that. So what I did do is I looked at some of the sources that I tended to follow on political science-y type stuff over the course of the last few years, and one of them in particular has spent a lot of time on this. And I'll be honest, I'm cribbing off of their predictions. And so I will state who that is. That's Larry Sabato, who's at the University of Virginia. He runs a website called Larry J. Sabato's Crystal Ball. And they have a lot of political stuff on there. And one thing in particular he's got is categorizations of the House and Senate races for this year. So that into, you know, leans Republican, safe Republican, toss-up, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I basically said, you know, anything that he doesn't consider a toss-up, I'm going to assume goes to the party he thinks is in the lead. Although there are a couple of the categories that it's actually a little broader than that. Like more are up for grabs than really just the toss-ups. But the toss-ups are the ones that are close at the moment. So I figure what the hell, I will use that for my predictions. Because also when I looked at that, it sort of matches my intuition. My intuition before looking at this was that basically the bottom line is that there'd be no change of control in either house. And the 60-vote status in the Senate would not change either. And that really the things would not shift very much in this election. The out-of-power party, the party who's not in the White House, tends to gain a little bit in off-year elections. And so maybe they gain a little bit in off-year election, but not a big change. It seems like it's fairly flat. Who knows? Could be wrong. But in looking at his numbers, it sort of matched up with that. So here is the form I will make my prediction in. So
okay.
There are currently 55 Democrats or 55 people caucusing with the Democrats in the Senate. Two of them are independents, but it's 55 when you add in the two independents. So my prediction is that after the 2014 elections in November, the number of Democrats will be between 50 and 52. So they will lose ground a little bit, but not enough to lose control of the Senate. Because, of course, if they have 50, Biden breaks the tie and they keep the Senate. So right. Between 50 to 52 caucusing with the Democrats after the election in November. That's my prediction.
Okay.
Although, of course, they don't actually take office until January, so I to be careful about what I'm predicting. I am predicting that once people take if the people who are elected in November take office as expected, the number would be 50 to 52 in the Democratic caucus, even though that will not have happened yet at the end of the year. Okay?
Okay. All right.
Do you want to make a prediction on that?
My prediction is going to be a little bit less specific. How do I say specific? What I simply predict is that I don't think the House nor the Senate, and
Senate first.
I just don't think it's going to change control.
Right.
I mean, I think that even if the Democrats lose a seat or two, I just think it's going to remain the same.
Okay.
That's my take.
So we basically agree on that, but I'm making the specific prediction 50 to 52.
Right.
So 50, 51, or 52 people caucusing with the Democrats. You're just saying Democrats have 50 or more.
Yes.
Okay. Excellent. Alex just ran in here and lay down on the floor. Okay. Now, House. I will make the prediction in the House. I'm also saying no change in control of the House. I'll also make a specific numerical prediction derived the same way, essentially. There are 200 Democrats in the Senate right now. In the House right now. There are 200 Democrats in the House right now. Just for reference, they need 218 for a majority.
Okay.
And I expect that after the elections, using the same criteria as we talked about before, somewhere between 196 and 208 Democrats in the House. So I allow the possibility they could go up a little bit, could go down a little bit, basically stay the same. I think there's a little bit more room on the upside, but barely. Basically, my prediction is it stays relatively flat. But I'm giving the range 196 to 208 Democrats. Notice that 208 is not enough to take control of the House. I do not think the Democrats will be taking control of the House. Okay, your turn. Any predictions on the House?
I basically have the same prediction for the House as for the Senate. I don't think that there will not be change in control. That's one prediction that I have. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
However, I am going to take the bold statement and say that the Democrats will gain seats.
Hold on. Alex, I can't. I'm doing something, but Mommy can get you something.
No.
Okay. Hold on one second, kids.
All right.
Alex.
No.
I'll
you make it, my mom.
I will. Stay here.
This is Sam here with an opportunity for you. Yes, you heard me right, an opportunity. For you loyal listeners of Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, every once in a while, Yvonne can't make a show. And I do a solo show, which, you know, I think I do okay. But, you know, it's always interesting to have a second person to bounce off. And just in general, sometimes it's good to hear another voice. If you, yes, you, have some things to say about the kinds of things we usually talk about on Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, politics, current events, news, tech, then drop me a line at abelsmay@abelsmay.com letting me know. And hey, I'll keep you in mind and maybe ask if you can join us sometime, either on a regular show with Yvonne if it's something particularly pressing that you maybe have an expertise on, or just, you know, hey, an opportunity to co-host when Yvonne is out. Who knows? Now, I am not guaranteeing that if you send me an email, you'll definitely get on the show, but let me know if you're interested, and I'll keep you in mind. Thanks, and now, back to the show.
Sorry about that, I'm back.
Okay,
so sorry, you were saying...
I boldly predicted that
the House
the Democrats
would stay the same.
The House would stay the same, but that the Democrats would gain seats.
They would gain seats. So, to be specific, they have 200 at the moment as we're doing this, so more than 200 seats.
Correct.
Okay, so now, while we're on technicalities, if they lose some seats between now and the election and then gain them back, but they're still under 200, does that
count? No, they got to be over 200.
Okay.
All right. They got to be over 200. They have the data. We're making this prediction right now.
Okay. Got it. Okay. So we got Senate and House predictions. Next, the presidential field. Now, obviously, is not a presidential election in 2014. However, despite the fact that the quote-unquote invisible primary started the day after the 2012 elections, if not before, the traditional start, semi-traditional start, is after the mid-year elections. Basically, after the mid-year elections, people start feeling like it's okay to actually make it fairly clear what their intentions are. That's when the formal exploratory committees start happening, all that kind of stuff. Right. Now, most people won't completely, formally, 100% declare their candidacies until late in 2015, probably. But as soon as the elections are over in 2014, you know, the starting gun is officially off. And sort of the landscape is set for the 2016 elections. So here's where I think we'll be. At the end of the year, as of December 31st, 2014, I think Hillary Clinton will still be being coy. She'll be seriously considering or whatever, but she will not have said definitively, yes, I intend to run. But she will still be the presumed front runner in the Democratic Party. However, by the end of 2014, I think there will be at least one serious anti-Hillary Democrat who's made it clear that they intend to challenge Hillary for the nomination.
Okay.
So that's my prediction on the Democrats. Do you have a Democrat prediction?
Gosh. I'm going to say that there is not going to be anybody credible who's going to be really out there by the end of 2014.
On the Democrats. You mean other than Hillary?
But I think, like you said, I don't think anybody's going to formally have declared, and even if somebody, I don't think that anybody, you said that there's going to be somebody that will declare that
not declare, like, I don't think anybody's going to be formally declaring anything, but like, people will make their intentions known without having done so. Like, it's fairly clear Hillary's interested at this point. There are a handful of other Democrats. You know, Biden's made it clear he's somewhat interested. You hear a couple of other names occasionally. But at the moment, the environment is everybody's, like, waiting for Hillary. If it's Hillary, that changes everything, and so everybody's sort of waiting on Hillary. My prediction is, even though Hillary won't say anything definitive by the end of 2014, there will be at least one other person who's like, I think that, assuming Hillary's going to run, somebody needs to stand up to her and show an alternative vision for the Democratic Party, and will be saying that openly and clearly, and they won't have officially declared either. Nobody will have officially declared, probably.
But there are people probably saying that right now. My question is, are you saying somebody that has a force of, like,
A serious contender, meaning...
Nah, I don't think anybody's serious.
I want to be clear what I mean by serious. I don't mean that they are close to her in the polls. I mean they are actually building an organization, they are doing fundraising, here's one criteria I'll give you. There are people polling them. Like right now, for a few, I've been tracking the preliminary state level polls of Democrats. On the state level, for like 4 months, no Democrat has been polled other than Hillary. I think there will be somebody who's being talked about enough that people will be running head-to-head polls comparing them to Republicans. And, I don't know if we can decide exactly right now the criteria. What I mean is that when we get to the end of 2014, people won't just be saying, it's Hillary, it's Hillary, it's Hillary, unless Hillary doesn't want to run. They'll be saying, Hillary is the front runner, but so-and-so, is also clearly interested and in the race.
It's just that I don't think anybody credible will stick their or neck out that we're going to be talking about.
Well,
that's what I
so
think.
We disagree on our prediction.
Yes.
I think there will be somebody credible. And by credible, again, I don't mean that they're like neck and neck with
Kennedy. Yeah, I'm not. I know, but like, I understand what you're saying. It's a real person, you know, not some Yahoo from, you know.
Yeah,
it's
like someone who's held public office who,
right.
You know, and, you know, like it's Biden or it's Warren or it's Cuomo or, you know, some Democrat we've heard of.
I gotcha. Okay. Well, I don't think so.
Okay, but. So that my prediction was fairly clear. It's Hillary will still be considered the front runner, but not officially, declared yet. But there will be at least one serious candidate who's positioning themselves as the anti-Hillary. Your prediction for the Democrats is that we'll essentially be at exactly the same place we are right now, 12 months from now, where Hillary's clearly the one everybody's talking about. And everybody else is sort of like, I'm not saying anything unless she's saying she's not running.
Okay.
Is that correct? Is that what you're predicting? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yes.
Okay. You know, and I'll say one thing about this. One of the reasons why they're people are going to, you know, position themselves to run against Hillary is to prove themselves as potential vice presidential candidates with her.
Possible. I mean, I get what you're saying.
Because
but
this is not a universal case. It's certainly not universal. But it's been fairly common for the vice presidential candidate to be picked from the field of people who are running against the winner of the primaries.
I know. I've seen that. But you know, I don't know. I still think that by the end of this year, whoever the hell is going to be out there, I don't think that anybody credible is really going to be making enough noise. Against Hillary.
So, and this isn't the end of the year, but by the time we get to actual 2016, do you think Hillary will actually be essentially unopposed for the Democratic nomination, or do you think they'll? As usual,
no, I think no. There will be no, no, no. I don't think she's going to run out of post. I think there certainly will be a number of candidates that will emerge.
Like
yeah, that are real that will compete against her. Yeah, I think is that, those will be formally declared, and I don't think they will jump into the fray until 2015. I don't think there's anybody who we're going to be talking out there that we really know that really is going to be making enough noise, like at the end of the year, that we're actually talking about them.
Okay,
that's what I was thinking about.
That's fair. Okay, Republicans. I think the field will still be essentially wide open with many contenders and no clear front runner, but one or two will be clearly ahead of the pack that everybody talks about more than the rest. And I'm not ready at this point to predict who those two are, but I think we will have a situation where it's not just going to be like right now. It's essentially like 10 people whose names keep getting put out there, and if you look at the polls, like this week Christie's a little bit ahead and blah blah blah. But they're all it's still a big pack. I think by the end of the year there will be one or two, probably two, but one or two that are sort of clearly ahead whenever they're doing those polls of who do you think should be the Republican nominee.
So frame this again. Your prediction is?
My prediction is by the end of the year on the Republican side, while it will be, it still will be wide open. There won't be anybody completely and totally dominating. Like they're clearly the winner, and you know they're or not clearly the winner. It's still too far out for that. But it won't be like on the Democratic side where everybody's like it's Hillary's if she wants it. Instead, there will still be a fairly wide open pack, a lot of people there, but there will be one or two people that are very clearly at the head of that pack.
Right. Yeah, I think that... I guess I gotta agree with your prediction on this one.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, moving on. Obamacare. I'm gonna predict, and this is a prediction. I hate this, like, saying the word prediction thing, because I know I'm gonna say something and then forget to say it's a prediction. Yeah. Anyway. And we'll argue about that a year from now.
Right.
Obamacare. My prediction is the initial sign-up problems will recede from the news fairly quickly. They have already started to, really, but even further. But there will be other significant implementation issues that come up and will make news over the course of the year. And it will be a major issue in those congressional midterm elections. Not necessarily because the whole thing is falling apart or anything like that, but because, hey, this is a Republican core issue. The Republicans are going to milk it for everything they can. And so it'll be a core issue in the 2014 congressional elections.
I think you're dead wrong on this one.
Okay.
I actually think that, to be honest with you, the remaining parts that have not been implemented yet are not that significant at this point. Okay.
But
I really think that the Republicans, there is a sense of fatigue about this, even amongst the Republicans themselves. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the reasons why they passed the budget. I think that they will use it. I think this is something that really helps in riling up the base. I don't think it's going to be a vote getter. And I really don't think that it's going to turn into something that, by the end of the year, nobody's going to care anymore. I mean, like you said, like right now, it's already receded even from the headlines at this point.
I think by the end of the year, it will be a relative non-issue in terms of actual policy issues, but that you absolutely positively will see, you know, in congressional races all across the country, the TV ads are going to talk about Obamacare.
I really don't think so.
Good. We disagree.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So my prediction is that first of all, there are two separate things here. First, my prediction is that there will be other implementation issues throughout the year, but
and I said no.
Oh, you don't even think there'll be other implementation issues?
No, I really don't. No.
Okay, I think there will be other implementation issues. They will make news. But they won't be of the scale of the disaster on turning on the website.
Right.
They'll be smaller in scale. And you don't think there'll be any significant implementation issues at all for the remainder of 2014.
No, I don't think so.
And I think that the Republicans absolutely positively will make as much hay as they possibly can out of Obamacare in the 2014 elections. And you'll see all kinds of campaign commercials about it. And you believe that they will not. That this is not going to be a primary.
I don't think it's going to be. It really isn't going to be a good vote getter. By that time.
Okay, make an additional prediction then. What do you think will be the big issue being talked about in the congressional elections?
It's a great question. You know, one of the things is that. You know, right now, for example, we pass this budget deal for the next 2 years, right? Okay, so you took that out of the equation, right? Okay, there's not going to be another cliff. There's not going to be anything like that.
There still is the debt ceiling.
There still is the debt ceiling, but I don't think it's going to turn into an issue either.
Yeah, well, and I've got that in the econ section, so we can talk about that then.
Yeah, geez. I mean, you know... I'm going to go back.
You can predict that there will be no central unifying issue and it'll be a hodgepodge of all over the place local things.
Well, what I was going to say is I think I go back to 1999, 2000. Bush ran against basically even Clinton, even though he wasn't running again. It was Gore. Well, what the heck was he talking about? The compassionate conservatism, bringing back honor to America, that kind of stuff.
That's where you think we're going?
Yeah. I really do. I think we're going back to that shit. That's where I think they're going to be talking about.
Okay. We'll see.
That's my prediction.
I think
that this stuff, like Obamacare and all this stuff, will recede because I think a lot of people are going to be signed up or they're going to be paying the small tax and either people signed up or they're taking the benefits or their CDL health care didn't implode and they're not going to give a shit anymore.
Okay. Now, to be clear, I'm not saying that Obamacare will be the only issue. I just think it's going to be one of the main ones. I mean, you're also going to get...
I just don't think it's going to be a main one.
You're going to get the usual culture war things, and you're going to get...
I really do.
The economy in general is always an issue. You're going to get these things.
Yes.
Okay.
That, I think, is what we're going back to.
Okay, great. Now, next. Congressional velocity. We had a prediction last year. The 113th passed less laws than the 112th. I will state that by the end of 2014, that will still be the case. And by passed, I, of course, mean the House passes it, the Senate passes it, and it's signed by the
president. So are they going to get at some point to, like, no laws passed at the rate they're going? Is that where we're heading?
No.
No.
You will always be able to name post offices.
Okay.
I mean...
Maybe not. Wait a minute. Maybe not at the rate we're going with the Postal Service.
True. But in any case, there will always be some laws that are on completely uncontroversial things that the Republicans and Democrats have no problem passing, even on a voice vote without even like recording it. You know, there are always a few things like that, and even if they run out of them, they'll make up a few new ones. Like, you know, everybody agrees that this is Be Nice to Teddy Bears Day or something like that.
Be nice to Teddy Bears of the days. I like that. There you go. That's cool. Okay. There you go. Yeah. All right. Sweet. I'm gonna talk to my congressman. I'm gonna propose that bill. Okay.
Okay. So my prediction is at the end of the year, the 113th will have passed less laws than 112th at the same period of time. Now, by the end of the year, by December 31st, the Congress will be almost done, but it'll actually have a few days left. And the president sometimes signs a few laws a few weeks after that. So I'm talking signed into law as of December 31st. So
I'm going to go with you and agree.
You're going to agree this time?
Yes.
Last year you were optimistic about the Congress.
Yeah, well, they fucked me.
Well, and by the way, I do optimistic in quotes because, of course, measuring the productivity of a Congress by how many laws it's passed actually automatically assumes a certain vision of what Congress should be doing. Many Republicans have stated outright that they view the fact that they are not passing laws as a sign of success because Congress shouldn't be meddling in passing all those laws anyway.
I think they're idiots.
I think your viewpoint is quite clear on that.
Yes.
I believe there will be continued trickle of revelations from the Snowden documents throughout the year, but basic opinions on these issues won't shift any more than they have already. Basically, people's opinions are set. You've got a group of people who thinks that the things that have been revealed are an outrage. You've got a group of people who think that the things that have been revealed are what the government should be doing anyway, and that, you know, Snowden was evil for revealing them because they were supposed to be secret. And I think there will be new revelations, but I don't think that any of them will be so shocking that the people who are currently supporters of what the NSA does will change their minds.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So you don't think that anybody's going to offer immunity to Snowden?
Oh, that's a good one. Prediction, no. Snowden will not get offered immunity or a pardon or anything of those lines during the course of the Clinton administration.
Clinton?
I'm jumping ahead to 2017, obviously. During the Obama administration. Obama will not countenance that. I do not believe.
Hmm.
Are you going to predict that he is offered one of those things?
Gosh, I'm not. I don't think I'm ballsy enough to predict that. No, I'm not going to predict that. I'm not going to predict he's not going to get it.
So you're not going to make any prediction either way. I'm going to predict no immunity, no pardon, no anything of the sort for Snowden during the course of the Obama administration, which of course covers 2014 and beyond, presumably, if things go as expected. They will also, although this would be cool, they would not, at one possibility, and I'm not making this prediction, this is just, you know, whatever, they could do a reality show where if he successfully completes a series of challenges, he's granted immunity.
Oh, that would be interesting. Okay, it's possible, but I would predict it that Congress would offer him immunity to testify. That's what I would think. But
no, you're not predicting it, though.
But I'm not predicting it.
My prediction is definitive. No such thing will happen from the executive branch. I don't think Congress will not do it either. I will say that too.
Okay.
So the Attorney General, the President, the Congress, nobody is going to offer Snowden immunity.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I will also say that there will be no surveillance reform that changes anything real. There may be some fig leaf stuff. There may be some minor things that grant some additional legal authority, or say that a certain program will be shut down.
So when should I tweet Greenwald about the fact that he was busting my balls about what I said and that he's wrong? When should I wait till?
At least a couple more years past 2014.
I'm gonna wait till the end of 2014. All right.
These kind of societal and attitudinal changes, if they happen, take decades, not years.
Yeah, and the thing is that Greenwald doesn't get it. It's not that I was that I'm for all this stuff. I'm totally against it. But my point was that, like I said, it's just we weren't going to get any change, and I predict that I'm agreeing with you. There's not going to be any substantive change.
Right. And I allow for the possibility of minor changes and tweaks that adjust certain things and may look like it's movement in some direction, but which don't address the fundamental underlying issue of the erosion of privacy and Fourth Amendment.
Unless the only thing I can say is it depends on what happens. Well, but these cases in the Supreme Court will not be decided this year anyway.
And they may not get to the Supreme Court. One of the things that I was reading the other day is, like, you have these two cases that decided alternate directions
There were three, actually, if I remember correctly. Two that went one way and one that went the other way.
On the metadata collection from phone records?
Correct, yes.
However, here's the thing. There's another layer of appeals before it goes to the Supreme Court. These things take a while. And the underlying law is set to expire in less than 2 years anyway. So if it gets past that point, the case will be declared moot and disappear and won't go to the Supreme Court after all.
Oh, that's interesting.
And in the meantime, the Congress may pass a replacement law that may be slightly tweaked from the original, but when they do so, it resets the clock and resets cases that have to happen because they're no longer relevant to the new law.
Well, but if Congress,
it's not going to happen this year anyway.
It's not going to happen this year. Is the point? And that I'm agreeing with. It's not happening this year.
Okay, so that's the end of my politics list. Do you have additional politics things that we did not cover?
No, I do not.
Okay, well. After spending 35 minutes on this segment.
Oh, good Lord, really?
Actually, it'll be less when I edit out the time I was getting Alex to go downstairs. Politics is done. We'll take a break, and we'll be back with economy. And Yvonne, you'll be able to lead off on economy. Back after this.
You're in The Valley, AM 1620 and LiganAirRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs. Everybody's doing a brand new dance now.
Come on, baby. Let's do the twist.
Well, they got a new dance and it goes like this.
I hit the radio dial and tune it up all the way.
I got a dancing in the moonlight.
Classic music for a classic American town. AM 1620 and in stereo at LiganAirRadio.com, The Valley.
And we're back. So, Yvonne, your turn to lead the discussion. Let's start on economy.
All right. So, 2013 actually happened to be, you know, by the way, I don't recall. Did you miss your stock market prediction?
Yes, I did.
You did? Okay.
For those who didn't listen last week, on the day we recorded, the Dow closed 4 points above the high end of my prediction. And so out of 16,000 and change, it 4 points above the high end of my prediction.
Yes! Yes!
And then, so we said we had to wait for the one. There was a partial trading day on the 31st. And we said we would wait for the results of that. The Dow went up that day, not down, so I was wrong on my Dow prediction.
Yes! Okay, all right, anyway.
So does this mean you're going to make a Dow prediction now?
No, I'm not. Okay,
I have mine prepared.
Oh, you have one prepared. Oh, Jesus, again. Well, what I was going to say is that 2013 turned out to be a pretty good year for the economy. Overall, despite the fact that we started off sluggish, we had the fiscal cliff, we had a couple of things that happened, but in the end, the stock market had a pretty good gain, and we had modest growth. Now, what I'm gonna predict regarding growth, okay?
Now, all right, remember, you have to have something where we will know the answer.
Okay,
the
and that's what I pulled up. Okay, U.S. GDP growth expanded slowly in 2013. I don't have the final number, but I believe it grew 1.9%. All right, now we got to validate that. But what I'm going to say is that the economy in 2014 will grow faster than in 2013, and that we can validate for next year.
Okay, and we will know that definitively in the first week of January. We won't have to wait till March or something
for
numbers.
Right. Now we can pull that information. Okay. At least we can pull the first three quarters of the year, and we'll have
economy as measured by GDP.
Correct. Okay. All right. So by U.S. gross domestic product. Yes. Okay. All right. So that's my call right now, that it will be it will grow faster. I pulled these categories from somebody that made some predictions this year. Unemployment rate will continue to drop.
So wait a second. On each one of these, ask me if I have a thought.
Oh, sorry about that.
I probably won't.
Do you think that the economy will grow faster this year than next?
I actually agree with you. I think that's a reasonable assumption. I think we're still recovering from the previous downturn. And I don't think, absent some major disaster, we're in for another retrenchment. So, yeah, I think we're going to continue to grow for now. and grow faster than this year. Not just faster, but
yes.
In terms of GDP, as will be obvious by my Dow prediction later, I don't think the Dow will repeat as large a gain in 2014 as it did in 2013.
No, I don't think it will, but I think it will grow. Okay, all right, so... Anyway, so that's that part there. Okay, GDP growth will be better this year than last. The reasons for that, I mean, there's multiple reasons if you look at it right now. Look, I mean, aside from, I think people are gaining more confidence from multiple factors. There were a whole bunch of drags, especially all this fiscal indecision with the fiscal cliff and all these things that happened for the last 2 years, the debt ceiling and all this shit. All that stuff just got washed away. We made a deal. We're done. We're out. We don't have to deal with this crap again for another 24 months. And I think that that's instilling a sense of confidence in people in order to be able to go out and do business and invest. I think that you've got a lot of delevering that happened with a lot of people not borrowing a lot of money, but I think that banks right now are starting to be more flexible in lending, and that will definitely generate you know, more business. So that's my thought, like, right now on the economy. Okay. Unemployment. Unemployment's going to go down. If the economy's going to improve, I think the unemployment rate is going to go down, and it'll probably drop below 7%. We're not right now. We're over 7%. I think we'll finally get to where it drops below 7%.
I'm going to be boring and agree with you.
Okay. All right. I will take your Dow prediction, good Lord.
Okay, here we go. So I followed the same methodology as I did last year, essentially, a little bit simpler version of it. But once again, because you preferred a 70% confidence interval to a 95% confidence interval, my 75%...
Yes!
If I'm done by 95%...
Yeah, 95%! The Dow will finish between 1,000 and 30,000. Great! Thank you.
Oh, you got my prediction for this year. How'd you know? No, I'm a little bit tighter than that. Based on the last 20 years of Dow performance and looking at the average and standard deviation of those years, and doing one standard deviation, which is approximately 70% confidence interval, it's like 68 and a fraction really, it's percentage wise, it's somewhere between down 7.6% and up 25.8%.
So what is that
in
numbers?
In numbers, that's between 15,312 and 20,848.
Wow, Dow 20,000. Okay, all right. So let's see. I'm gonna crunch my number right now. God's sakes, this fucking bullshit prediction. But okay, I'm gonna make it anyway. Of course, I'm gonna be wrong. I predict the Dow will finish at 19,009.5.
Okay, plus or minus what? Because if you have that exact prediction, you're wrong no matter what.
I'm going to be wrong anyway.
Last year you did plus or minus 2%.
Okay, all right. Let's see.
And that was very narrow, and you didn't get anywhere close to it.
Right, of course I'm not. the bottom range is 18,629.31.
Yeah.
And at the top, 19,381.93.
Okay, there you go.
That's my range. There you go. Okay, all right. There. And I predict right now that, okay, this prediction, which I will be correct, I will be wrong.
Wait.
You're I will be wrong on the previous predictions.
You make one prediction.
Yes.
And then another prediction that the first prediction is wrong. One of those two will be right.
Yes.
That's cheating. That's So either you're going to pick. You're going to pick a prediction. Predict that the Dow will be in that range or it won't be, but not both.
Okay, I predict the Dow will be in that range. Jesus Christ.
Okay, I had two more econ. Were you done with econ predictions?
Let me see. What else? Okay, no, there's one more thing. Okay. What I'm going to say is housing prices. Okay, all right.
Yeah,
you know, it's an important thing. You know, housing prices. I'm going to say that that we are probably going to have an above average increase in housing prices this year.
By what measure?
Okay. Let's see. Let me pull up the measure I had over here. This is very vague. Nah, this is too vague.
You're going to base everything on the Zillow price of your house.
On the Zillow price of my house? No, I don't think that'll help. Housing prices are going to rise this year substantially. I think it'll probably be one of the best years in housing. Okay, house pricing growth, based by Case-Shiller, how they measure it, will probably be higher than at any point since the crash in 2007. Okay, it will be higher than any of those years. That's what I...
Now, let me ask. We may not know this in 2014. Do you think this is a prelude to another housing bubble, or do you think it's healthy growth?
No, it's not. It's not going to be, because the thing is that even still at that rate, we still haven't reached, in a lot of marketplaces, even like the price that we were at 7 years ago. So I don't think so, no. One of the things about the current... why the prices right now are so different is that in a market like down here where I live in South Florida, 70% of the sales are all cash. And that really makes a big difference in like, you know, how people buy and sell. So, I just don't think that we're at that moment right now. It's just very difficult to get into a bubble when you know, you don't have that kind of leverage.
Okay, so... I missed it. Did you give a percentage increase, or just that it's?
I said it's going to be higher than the fastest it's been since 2005. Okay. I'm going to say
biggest increase according to Case-Shiller since 2005.
Yes.
I will say up, but not a record like you're saying.
Okay. Fair enough.
Okay. Any more?
Nope, that's it. That's
okay, I have two more in the econ category. One I alluded to earlier. I believe we will not have another crisis over the next debt ceiling increase.
I agree with that.
I think very similar to what happened with the deal that happened a month ago or whatever on the budget. You'll have, before we get up to the final deadline, a deal will be made. It'll be raised. It won't be a crisis where we're talking about it the night before a deadline or the week before a deadline even.
Right.
It'll get taken care of. Maybe we'll be talking about it a week before, but it's not going to be the atmosphere of crisis where everybody's in a panic of, oh my God, this is going to happen. It's going to be people are working towards it. People make a deal. The deal gets done.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay. I will also my next highly speculative numerical thing it's stretching this to call it economic, but I'm going to make a Bitcoin prediction.
Oh, actually, I thought I had something. Well, I had something in the tech part about Bitcoin, but now what's your Bitcoin prediction?
My Bitcoin prediction is that, and I'll give the general thing first, and then I'll give specific numerical ranges to make the definitive prediction.
Okay.
I think Bitcoin will hit 2,000 sometime during the year, but it'll be less than 15,000. It will hit 2,000 sometime during the year, but will be less than 1,500 at the end of the year. And more specifically, I think the 2014 high for Bitcoin will be somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000. And the end of the year, it will be between 1,000 and 1,500. So that last is my specific predictions. High, between 2,000 and 3,000 for the year. End of the year, between 1,000 and 1,500.
Interesting. Okay. I'm going to predict. I'm not going to predict a range. I'm going to predict Bitcoin crashes this year below 1,000.
Well, it's below 1,000 right now, so that's not a big prediction. Where do you think it'll be at the end of the year?
No, even more. It is under 1,000 right now, but it surged over 1,000 for a while. Okay.
As we are recording right now, it's at 919.
Okay, I predict that Bitcoin will crash 250.
Now, are you predicting it'll be at 250 sometime over the course of the year, or it'll end
sometime over the course of the year? And it's going to cause a big panic amongst the people.
Okay, so, you know, it's possible that both you and me are right in this case.
Yes, it is.
It's that volatile that it could easily go down to under 250 sometime this year and still go above 2,000 also.
Yes, it's true, yes.
And it could still end the year between 1,000 and 1,500.
That's exactly right.
Okay, so your prediction is just sometime over the course of the year, Bitcoin will drop below 250.
Yeah. Now, there's a guy over here, and I don't know where to put this in what category, because they're mixing this in some technology, with technology.
Okay. You want to put it in econ or save it for later?
Well, here's the thing. I took some predictions of this guy. It's had 10 bold predictions for 2014, right? Okay. The guy goes and puts out a bold prediction, says, Bitcoin revolutionizes politics. I'm going to say
Bitcoin will
that
not
Bitcoin will not revolutionize politics.
I will agree. Certainly not in 2014.
No, not in 2014. No.
Let me add, based on current election law, if Bitcoin did revolutionize politics in 2014, there would be people going to jail for it.
True. There you go.
Okay, so I will agree with your prediction that Bitcoin will not revolutionize politics in 2014.
Yeah.
Okay, what else you got?
That's it.
Okay, so economy is over. We will take another break, and we'll be back, and we'll talk tech. Okay, here we are. Tack, 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 tack,
tack. Tick, ticky, 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 ticky. All right, ticky, ticky.
I guess it's my turn to start the conversation.
All right, so let me go. Okay, so I wanted to go through. So you remember I told you that I got this guy that did 10 bold predictions.
Oh, so
you want to
start with these 10 bold predictions?
Yeah, let's see. Let's see what you think about these. Okay, all right, here we go.
And then both of us will either agree or disagree with these predictions.
Right, exactly.
What we're doing?
All right, okay. So here we go. All right, 10 bold predictions for 2014. Number one, Google Glass becomes the must-have tech gadget of the year.
No.
No. All right. We both agree on that. There's no freaking way. It's overpriced. It's ridiculous. I think it will be something that catches on in some vertical markets. I've seen some doctors and some people using it in something specific, but no.
And I'll add, there are certain tech geek circles where it will be the must-have thing to have.
Right.
But
not amongst the general population. No. Okay. Number two, a commercial drone company gets anointed as the next Apple.
No.
I'm going to say no, too. It's just too niche. And I don't think
and
it,
too
you
soon.
Know, it's, yeah, and too soon. Okay. All right. So that's number three, virtual reality becomes the next big science fiction technology to go mainstream.
Not yet. No, not in 2014.
I don't think not yet. 2014.
I've heard some good things about some virtual reality technology that is about to go to commercial this year, but I don't think it'll really take off this year. Maybe the year after, but there's still got a lot of downsides to it.
I just don't think 2014 is a year for it yet. Well, that's what I think. Let's see what else. Your next door neighbor becomes a venture capitalist, and they're talking about this because of crowdfunding. And I'm going to say, no.
Well, it depends what they mean. If they just mean your next door neighbor contributes to a Kickstarter, well, probably. But it seems like it would mean more than that, or that's pretty.
I think what he's meaning is that it's going to happen with everybody. That you know, it's just a very common thing, and I just don't think it's going to be either.
I'm going to say no.
I just don't think that this is going to get that big either because people still a little bit coy about investing.
Okay, I'd say, look, you know, the thing with Kickstarter and things like that is they make it very easy to put in small amounts. Like I've invested in a Kickstarter with like $10. I'm like, oh, that's a cool idea. I'll give them $10. But, you know, I don't think that – and I think that kind of stuff will continue and grow. But I think it's overkill to say, you know – hey, everybody's a tech and whatever the word was you used. I think that's taking it too far. I mean,
right.
Crowdfunding is popular and it will become more popular, but it's not going to get to the point where it's fundamentally supplanting traditional, you know, modes of funding new businesses on a really large scale. I mean, you know, there's no question that Kickstarter and company have already been successful, and I think they'll be even more successful. But
that's a big difference from that to like everybody's doing it. You know,
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Next.
All right. I already talked about the Bitcoin one. There was one that just didn't make any sense that was in here. I'm not going to mention that one. The last one is a pretty interesting one, actually. This one, I have to think about it. The United States experiences its first big cyber attack.
This is a one where, okay, what do you mean by that? How do you measure?
Let's read what he says. There are clear signs that the Chinese and North Koreans are working on cyber weapons, and it's only a matter of time before Al-Qaeda or some other rogue terrorist organization uses cyber weapons to shut down part of the U.S. utility grid, or even worse, to unleash a major attack on a U.S. city by doing something like playing around with the computers inside nuclear reactors.
So, like, I'll give you an example. Right now, as we're recording this, we have this huge cold snap across a lot of the country. Right. Like, if somebody switched off the electricity for several states that are in the midst of this cold snap, that would have a significant impact.
Right.
So I don't know. Not in 2014.
I don't think so either, because one of the things that I've been working, you know, I've had some experience these last couple of years of working with some companies in the energy industry and how they are. I really don't think they really have tried to keep a lot of this stuff off the net. Okay,
this is how Stuxnet worked too. Iran's nuclear reactors were
right,
off the net too.
But it took infiltration. It took that. I really don't think that they have the capability in order to infiltrate enough of them at the same time in order to be able to mount an attack like that. Mm. I just don't.
Maybe a lot of these systems though have. All kinds of interesting points of failure. Like, we've had, you know, every few years we have a blackout that affects millions of people.
But it's specific. It's tough to make a coordinated. This is talking like a cyber attack, like a coordinated attack. But it takes down a whole city or whole areas. I just think that they could do stuff that affects, like, one reactor or one part, but I don't think that they would be able to mount something that would be like seen as a Pearl Harbor.
But again, like the last New York City blackout we had, the root cause was like one transformer blowing somewhere in upstate New York or something.
True.
I mean, I forget the details, but it was something relatively minor that cascaded.
Yeah, I still don't think they'll be able to pull it off.
Okay, I'm going to agree with you on a no for this year. I think that eventually we will see that kind of thing, but not in 2014.
Not in 2014. Yep. Okay. So those were those.
I was supposed to start those.
I know, but
and you
I,
just
I
hijacked
those,
everything.
Those are kind of a little bit of fun. I don't know with
yeah,
those. There you go.
What kind of fun? You're just taking over everything.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay. I don't mind. Okay. I add a couple things here. The first few of these are ones that I have not actually put my prediction down in my notes. I've just put a question that I'm going to put to both of us, and we each make a prediction on.
Okay. All right.
Retina IMAX. Yes or no?
Yes.
I'm going to say no.
No? Hmm. Okay.
Now, the same question we did last time. How many updates will there be for various Apple products in 2014? So let's go through these. iPad Air, how many updates?
I'm going to go with one.
I'm also going to go with one. iPad Mini, how many?
One.
Also one. Will there be a new iPad besides the iPad Mini and iPad Air?
I'm going to go with yes.
This is getting boring. I'm also going to say yes.
Shit.
Okay, the iPhones, and I'm counting both the 5C and the 5S, how many new models of iPhones will there be in 2014?
I think there'll be one of each, and maybe another line extension. Not sure what it...
So
not,
you're
not
saying
sure
two or three?
Yes, and I'm going to say another line extension. No, I'm going to say a replacement of the 5C... A direct replacement of the 5S, and a line extension. Not sure which direction they're going to take it,
like whether it's going to be bigger or smaller or whatever.
Right.
But you think
or
at the end of 2016 there will be three models of three current models of iPhone, so not counting
three
old
current
ones
models, not counting selling the old one that's still at a discount price. Yes,
right. So three total brand new iPhones in the year.
Yes.
Okay. I will go with two.
Okay.
I will go with two. I think they will update the 5S and the 5C, so we'll probably get two models of the iPhone 6, but I don't think they'll branch out to a third one in 2014. Maybe 15, but not. I don't think they'll do that in 2014.
Okay.
Okay. Continuing on this for just a couple more Apple products. iMacs. How many new iMacs?
One.
I also agree with one. MacBook Pros. How many?
One.
This is boring. MacBook Airs. How many?
I think they're all going to stay with one.
Okay, so we are completely undoing the predictions you made last year of moving to a cycle of two on everything.
Because what I've seen is that they're going to do is like
differentiate instead.
Right.
So any new MacBooks then? Do you think there'll be a new line of MacBooks like you were predicting on the phones? And the iPads for that matter.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to say yes.
Yes, a new line of MacBooks?
Yeah.
Okay. And I believe I said there would be a new line of iPads, but you said no? Or did you say yes?
I thought I said yes.
You probably said yes. We've agreed on all these things. It makes it boring. Yeah. Except the Retina iMac.
Right.
Okay. Let me jumble up the Apple stuff. I had a couple more Apple things. Apple TV, yes or no in 2014, and not the little box, the actual television set.
Oh, the actual. Then I keep saying that there will that thing will never exist.
I'm going to agree with you this year and say no. Just watch. This is the year there is one.
That thing will never exist.
Okay, Apple Watch.
I'm going to say no.
I will also say no.
And the reason I'm saying no is because every idiot is fucking putting out a watch, and they're stupid.
So this brings me into my next thing. Will any company put out a successful wearable tech product, whether it be glasses or watch or socks or whatever? And I should qualify, of course, what I mean by successful. What I mean by successful is everybody's talking about it, everybody's excited about it, they sell a shitload.
I'm going to say yes, but yes. I just don't think it's any of this crap that we're talking about.
So so yes in 2014 for some sort of wearable tech electronic smart product.
But it's none of this shit.
But it's not glasses, it's not a watch.
No. Yeah. It's not in the current form of them anyway.
So you're going for the socks that I suggested, I presume.
Maybe.
The electronic socks.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I will predict that there will be no successful wearable tech along the lines I indicated in 2014. I think eventually you probably will have some sort of wearable tech products that are successful, but I don't think 2014 is the year it's going to happen.
Okay. Fair enough.
Are there going to be any extremely successful iPad competitors this year? Now, having said that, we have to always define our terms. Like, are the Kindle Fires iPad competitors in this sense? And how do you define successful? Are the Nooks? Or are we only talking about sort of traditional Android tablets like the Nexus?
I think you got to define all of them.
I think you got to include all of them. And
you got to include all of them.
But what do we mean by successful in that case? Because many of those products are, they're out there. I don't think any of them really rival the iPad at this point, though.
No, they don't. I mean, that's been the biggest thing.
I think that leads to our definition. I think our definition should be, when we are talking about iPhones and do Android phones compete with the iPhone, the answer very clearly became yes a few years ago. Android was behind iPhone went first and Android was behind. But after a couple years, they were clearly competing in that same space. Several of them were clearly successful. And eventually, of course, they're selling more of them than iPhones. Now, there are other measures whereby they're still behind, but, you know, like profit, for instance. But they're clearly successful Android phones out there. I'd say at this point, it would be hard to say there's a really... There are quote-unquote successful Android-based tablets, but none of them are have the same mind share as the iPad. And so my question is, for 2014, will there be one out there that people are, by the end of the year, seriously saying, this is clearly a contender against the iPad, and it's showing sales that back that up?
I think that there will be. I mean, it's just because the market is growing so much, and because of the collapse of notebook and PC sales, that, yeah, I mean, I think there will be. I mean, it's just too much volume out there of sales.
Okay. I'm going to still say no for this year. I think you're probably right in 2015, but I think that the competitors still have some ground to make up before they get there.
Okay. Fair enough.
Okay. One more stupid Apple question. We mentioned the iPads. Do we think that, like the phone, will you be able to get iPads in more colors in 2014?
I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say yes, too. I don't see them, like, people are going to want their freaking red and purple iPads.
I the other day, it's kind of funny. I got one of my best friends over here, who he works at another technology company, and we both have iPhone 5s, and both our wives. So my wife has a 5c in yellow, and his wife got a 5c in lime green.
Right.
People want their colors, you know?
Yeah.
That's all.
I think we'll get colors again. I won't go out on a limb. I don't think colors will return to the laptop lines this year, but maybe in 2015. But I don't think they'll do that in 2000. So I'll make that prediction too. No colors. On the MacBook.
I'll agree with you. No
MacBooks
colors on
and MacBook Pros will still come in the one color. Now there are obviously already other vendors who make colored Windows computers, but that's not what we're talking about. Okay, now speaking of Windows. Who's the Microsoft CEO going to be at the end of the year?
Ivan Bo. No.
Congratulations, Yvonne. I know you'd been interviewing, and I just want to congratulate you right now.
I don't know. I got to be honest. Today, there have been a whole bunch of rumors that the current Ford CEO, who used to be Boeing, He pulled himself out of it. He said he's not going to be CEO at Microsoft. So, I mean, he was the front runner, to be honest with you. So I really don't know. I mean, I don't think I got a good prediction of who that person would be. I don't know.
Let me try. I don't have a name in mind either. So let me try making it more general. And I probably don't know the answer to this, too. I'm just curious as to your thoughts. What industry will the new CEO of Microsoft come from? Will they come from another tech company? Will they come from
definitely come from another tech company.
Another tech company.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I'm going to say that the next speculation I've got of who could be next in line, it's just that I would say he's got a high probability, but I wouldn't predict it. But the Nokia CEO.
I know he's been talked about too, but you're not going to predict it. You're not going to go out on that limb.
No.
Okay. So I will not make a prediction on the Microsoft CEO. I just have no freaking clue.
It's just too open right now. I mean, I if you would have asked me a month ago, I would have said it was the Ford guy, and it wound up not happening. So now I'm like, really? I don't know. I just don't know.
Okay, so. Yes or no? They will definitely pick somebody this year, right?
They will definitely pick somebody in 2014, no doubt.
Do we even have to make a prediction on that? Because they set themselves a timetable, right?
They didn't set a specific timetable. So, I mean, no, I would have to say it's going to be predicted in 2014.
Okay, so that is a prediction for you. There will be a new Microsoft CEO before the end of the year.
Yes.
Okay, I'll agree with you on that one. But I think they specifically said that Ballmer had less than 12 months, so...
Well, he said it, but he said he was going to stay on until it was done, right? And let's face it, I mean, they have made almost no progress.
Yeah. Although, would we actually tend to know? Like,
no, we would know. I mean, because there would be some people like their names would be in the ring. I mean, the reality is everybody has said that a lot of people have taken their names out of it. It's been known that a lot of people have been approached and they have like rejected the overtures.
And do you think that's because a lot of people? Why is that? Do people just think that it's a
lot of people have said that basically no, they felt that it was going to be very difficult to run the company when you have both two ex CEOs on the board, basically right. Bill Gates and Ballmer.
So there's a question. Do you think that a CEO could say, "I'll take over on the condition that those two resign from the board"?
It's a possibility. I mean, but I'm not going to make it as a prediction. But it certainly has already been. It's already come up.
So, will you make a prediction on this? Will Bill Gates and Ballmer still be on the board of Microsoft at the end of the year?
I'm going to say that one of them will not be on the board by the end of the year. How's that? I'm not sure which one, but I'm going to say that one of them will no longer be on the board.
I'll go out on a limb like here and say that Gates will still be on the board. Ballmer will not.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll make that prediction. Okay, now, in terms of Microsoft also, will Microsoft stock be higher or lower than it was at the end of 2013?
Oh, gosh.
I'm not asking for a specific range prediction. Just like all this CEO stuff, all this stuff, is the market going to be happy? Is it going to go up or are we going to go down?
I think it's going to go up.
So you think Microsoft will close 2014 higher than it began it?
Yes.
I'll agree. Yeah. I'll agree. I think that it'll go up some because people will be optimistic and, hey, let's give the new guy a chance and see what happens. I think long term, Microsoft still has lots of issues that, you know, but maybe new blood at the top is what it takes to shake it up and make something happen.
I mean, Microsoft has a lot of issues, but Microsoft also has quite a lot of people buying a lot of their shit, yep. Even still to this day.
Yep.
Okay? And it's just not going away anytime soon.
No, it's not.
They're not going to collapse next year.
And you know how long Apple was in the wilderness before it started coming back, too. Right. I mean, when you have this kind of situation, especially – and Apple was in dire straits at the bottom.
Right.
Microsoft still has lots of runway here. And if you got the right leadership in place that was willing to make hard decisions and big culture changes, frankly, you could turn Microsoft around. And who knows what kind of company it could be. You all also see the kind of transformations where, you know, you could have the company go in a completely new direction. You know?
I totally agree.
So who knows? But we won't see all that play out this year. But I think in this year you'll have the enough excitement from the new guy that it'll be up by the end of the year. Okay, that was the end of my list. Do you have any more tech things you want to talk about?
No, I already went through the stuff I had, so.
Okay, let's take a break, and we'll come back with international stuff. Here we go.
This is a break, oh yes, this is a break. This is a break, because no one gave me any suggestions. I told you, I warned you, so this is a break. This is a wonderful break, a wonderful break. Yes, indeed, this is a break. This is a break in the middle of Curmudgeon's Corner. Yes, this is a break. Yes, yes, this is a break. Break, 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 break. Yes, 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 this is a break. Yes, this is a break. Break, 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 break. Yes, it is a break. And now, and now, and now, and now the break is over.
Okay. Da-da-da. International.
International.
It's your turn to lead, Yvonne.
It is? Oh, shit. Will we bomb Iran?
No.
I'm going to say no. will we bomb any country this year? Which one do you think?
We will continue bombing in the sense of drone attacks. The country.
Let's say, are we going to bomb any new targets? Say, okay, drone attacks in Pakistan. Okay,
Pakistan, Yemen, blah blah blah. We've been doing that kind of stuff.
Right. Are we going to go into a new place like Syria, Libya? You know, I don't know, somewhere, any hotspot, anything you got in mind?
You know, I'll go out on a limb and say yes. We will do another intervention that is, I will say, minor in scale. We're not going to do any Iraq war scale stuff. We're not even going to do anything on the scale of what we did in Libya. But I will predict that sometime in 2014, we will do airstrikes somewhere in the world. And I will go further than that and say it will be somewhere in Africa.
Wow. Damn. I'm going to say we don't. Okay. I was actually reading today this article by Robert Gates, the old defense secretary, who was basically,
slamming everybody.
He slammed a lot of people, but gave some praise, gave a lot of slamming. He had a whole bunch of stuff. But one of the things that he did say was that we're too damn militaristic, that we just freaking, like, it's too easy for us to go pull the freaking trigger and just bomb people and not use enough diplomacy. And I think that Obama last year basically drew a different line in the sand, especially when talking about Syria, where he basically went, like, you know, everybody thought we were going to go, like, bomb the bejesus out of Syria, and we didn't. And so I'm going to say they're going to keep with that line, and we're not going to bomb anybody.
So here's where I am. Again, like, I think it's going to be – whatever we do, if we do it, is going to be more limited in scale. So I think we'd be crazy not to use drones as opposed to our fighter pilots, but we will engage in a new country we have not been engaged in and at least kill a few people. At least kill a few people. Now, I count in this, you know, drone attacks. Because to me, it doesn't matter what weapon you use if you're in there.
Oh, no. What I'm saying is I agree with you. What I'm thinking is whether we're going to do it in a new
theater. I think there will be a new country that we have not attacked in the last 2 years that we will attack in 2014.
I'm gonna say no.
And again, I think it's gonna be in Africa because I think a lot of these conflicts in Central Africa that have been brewing, and you've had the French sending in troops, and you've had all kinds of stuff going on. I think there's a lot of instability there, and I think the way this would play out is that there'd be some kind of place where we think we could bring an early end to a conflict by intervention, where that conflict we anticipated. Potentially killing, losing lots of lives otherwise. Much along the same rationale we had in Libya, where they, you know, supposedly Muammar Gaddafi was threatening the population of, was it Benghazi? Or was it a different town? I forget. But anyway, he was threatening the population of some town, and we said, we're not going to let that happen. I think that's the kind of scenario that would lead us to intervene, but only if we think we can do it in a very limited scale and make a difference. But I think that will happen sometime in 2014. And I know I'm going somewhat out on a limb there, but I think we'll do it. It will be very limited, though. Whatever we do will be limited.
All right. I'm sticking with my thing. I'm saying we're not doing it.
Okay. What else you got?
Let's see. What else? See. We bomb everybody. No any new wars? We're not invading anybody? I mean, we talked about bombing. How about full-scale war?
No.
No? No full-scale war in 2014?
And that is a prediction, even though we didn't use the word before I said this is a... No, yeah.
Right. So we're not predicting a full-scale war. I agree that we're not going to go into a major conflict in any full-scale war. Is there going to be peace in Palestine?
No.
I'm going to say there's not going to be any peace in Palestine.
I'll go further. There will be no progress at all in the Israel-Palestine situation in 2014.
Okay, I will go with you.
Even though Kerry is supposedly doing another round of stuff right now, no, there will be no progress worth mentioning in Israel-Palestine over 2014. But you know what else I'll mention? Although I'll say it won't get worse in 2014 either. We'll be at about the same place.
Okay. All right.
I'm gonna agree with you on that one. Okay, all right. I think that that's the, yeah, it's gonna be pretty much status quo. Because basically, until Netanyahu or the government changes in Israel, there's not gonna be any movement. And if I remember correctly, he just won the freaking election anyway. So nothing's gonna happen at this point. Let's see. All right. So we covered the Middle East. We covered that. Are we gonna have any a major September 11th sized attack, terrorist attack in U.S. or allies countries?
Oh, so very specifically September 11th sized in U.S. or allies in 2014. I will say yes. No.
You'll say no.
I'll say no.
Okay, I gotta agree with you. I'm gonna say no. I find it's kind of difficult.
When we get to me, I do have a terrorism related prediction, but
okay.
it does not overlap with what you just asked me.
Okay, okay, all right. Let's see. Is every year I talk about this one, is Fidel gonna finally die this year?
I'm gonna say yes.
You're gonna go yes.
I'm gonna go yes this time. Are you
okay? Okay, I'm gonna go with a yes. Again.
Okay, so we're both agreeing with you. Last time we disagreed on this, I think.
Maybe because you're agreeing, you're going to help me.
We will agree that Fidel Castro will finally die, and I will go further than that.
Oh, boy.
And say, in the wake of his death, there will be noticeable movement towards a detente sort of thing. Not, detente's not the right word. Through a warming of relationships between the U.S. and
Cuba. I agree. I'm going to go with you on that.
I do not believe we'll completely normalize relations in 2014, but after Fidel Castro's death, which I am predicting will happen in 2014, there will be noticeable movement.
All right. Okay. Okay. I'll agree with you on that one. I'm with you on that. Okay, so that's pretty much, I think I covered all my bases.
Okay. So I've got a few then. I will say that at the end of 2014, Syria will still be a mess, but it won't be as big of an international issue as it was in 2014. I mean, 2013.
Why? Because nobody will give a shit anymore?
Basically. I mean, it's still going to be a mess. There's still going to be fighting happening there. Assad will still be in power. That's another prediction. Assad will be in power. Syria still will be a mess. There'll still be a civil war going on there. And I can argue when we do the retrospective show how many predictions I just made. but it will be less on our radar screens in 2014 than it was in 2013.
Okay. Interesting. All right.
Okay. Do you have a Syria prediction?
Oh, gosh. No, actually, I don't. I haven't given it enough thought. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I don't know. I will say this. I think I said this last year, and the prediction turned out correct that Assad was going to hold on. And I'm going to say he still holds on.
Okay.
Period. And obviously, he's not going down.
I just made that prediction too. Assad will still be there.
Yeah, no. Assad will still be there. I forgot about that. That I did predict that last year, so I'll restate that this year again.
Okay.
So
and you asked earlier if we would bomb Iran, and I said no, and you agreed with no. But yeah. I will also predict that there will be significant progress in the diplomatic efforts with Iran over the course of 2014.
Okay.
I'm like Cuba, I'm not predicting that we will have fully normalized relationships with Iran within the year, but I think there will be considerable progress made in those diplomatic efforts.
Well, that was, we did that prediction last year and it turned out to be correct, okay? I mean, I think that we will have continued progress. I mean, let's face it, at this point, that's a no-brainer. I think we will have continued diplomatic progress with Iran. So I will predict that as well.
Okay. My next two predictions are related to the Olympics in Russia. So,
boy, so what are you going to predict?
So first, and I'm in the international section. And I'm not going to predict sports things.
Okay.
First,
well, that's a good thing.
yeah, sure. Here's a sports thing. Russia will win more gold medals at the Russian Olympics than anybody else. There you
go. Gee whiz, what a prediction.
I know. No, but that does count as a prediction, but here are my other predictions.
I will agree with Sam's prediction.
Okay. And I know absolutely nothing about sports. There will be a non-trivial amount of activism by the gay rights community at the Sochi Olympics, and Russia will not crack down on it. So there will be people openly, you know, displaying, rainbow flags and talking about gay issues and holding up signs and that kind of stuff. But Russia will not crack down on it and throw all those people in jail, because they will not want to look bad in front of the world during the Olympics. So they'll just sort of
Olympics, they won't do anything, and then afterwards they'll crack heads.
Afterward, they might, but I suspect a great deal of the activism will come by foreigners who are there for the Olympics, not by Russians.
Okay.
So they will not crack down. Second. And here's my terrorism prediction.
Here's the terrorism prediction.
There will be at least one attempted terrorist attack on the Olympics in Russia.
Well, there's already been a couple of terrorist attacks.
Well, they were not on the Olympics themselves because they haven't started yet. But true. There have been a couple of recent attacks. I think they will try to specifically target the Olympics while they are going on as well. I am not saying whether the attack will be successful or not. But there will be at least one attempted attack that we hear about in the news and is reported on during the course of the Olympics events. Now, I will go further and say that they may be successful, but the total death toll of the Russian Olympics will be less than 100 people.
Okay. Interesting.
It may well be zero if there is no attack at all. But if there is an attack, they won't kill more than 100 people. And I'll also say, my prediction of less than 100 people includes all potential violence at the Olympics, not just the terrorist attack that I predicted. So if the Russians do crack down on protesters and start shooting into the crowd, or anything else happens, I think the total death toll at the Russian Olympics will be less than 100.
Interesting. Okay.
It may well be zero. Hopefully it's zero, but it will be less than 100.
I hope so, too. Okay. All right. I don't have any such prediction regarding the Olympics.
You have no such predictions? Okay.
No.
Okay, next. And by the way, if there is no attack, my prediction of less than 100 is correct. Just to be clear, it's not there is an attack.
Really?
yes. Okay, next, Afghanistan. Okay. I predict as we withdraw our troops from Afghanistan, Afghanistan will fall apart. Like, there are already signs that they may not be able to be in a position to handle things well when we leave. But I think as we withdraw our troops, that will become increasingly evident over the course of the year. I believe we're due to be out completely by the end of 2014, correct?
I thought that was the timetable, yeah.
So I think I will not predict that Karzai will be gone by the end of 2014, but at the very least, he will be in serious trouble by the end of 2014.
Sorry. Well, I don't think Karzai will fall, but I do agree that Afghanistan is going to be in significant turmoil once we leave. So,
okay. Any other international things?
No, not at the moment.
Okay, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back for anything we forgot, hodgepodge, and to just wrap it up. Back after this. Ready?
Yeah. My wife asked if we're going to save the world.
Yes, of course.
And I told her, yes, absolutely. Of course we are.
There we go. So anyway, I have one hodgepodge prediction that I have. It's a personal prediction.
Okay. All right.
For those of you who are loyal listeners, you know that in 2013, I broke my iPad 3 times.
It was three times total?
It was three times total. Two times in December.
Okay, that's right. Two times in December,
and the other one was in the summer sometime.
Yep,
so I broke my iPad three times in 2013. I considered whether I wanted to make an extrapolation for predicting in 2014 how many times my iPad would be broken.
Yeah.
But I figured if I do something like predict my iPad will be broken two times in 2014, then if it gets to November and it's not, I just have a reason to break it.
Jesus
Christ. In order to get the prediction
wrong. I would hope not.
Because I'd be like, you know, damn it, I'm going to get this prediction wrong. I better smash the iPad.
Oh, God.
So I am going to predict that I do not break my iPad at all in 2013.
Wow. I like that. Well,
I make no such statements about my phone.
I'm going to predict that you're going to have one more incident.
One more incident in 2014?
Yes.
Okay.
I predict that you will have one. As I was telling Sam today, I counted 7 iOS devices. And today, for the first time, we actually cracked the screen on one. Okay, all right.
Congratulations.
For the first time. So I'm going to predict that we're not going to do that again in the next year.
Okay. Now, Yvonne, as we wrap it up, do you have any other predictions in other realms, sports, entertainment, personal stuff, anything that you want to make a prediction on?
Man, you know.
The airline industry, whatever, I don't know.
Well, I mean, the airline industry got kind of boring. I mean,
I just mentioned that because you always used to talk about airplanes.
Yeah, but it got kind of boring. Airline industry, everybody merged. There's not much going on. Gosh. Well, we didn't talk much about Samsung or Google.
We didn't talk, and last year you made a prediction about RIM getting bought. Will RIM get bought this year?
I'm gonna say no. I think it's past where nobody gives a shit about the technology anymore. Nobody sees any value.
Will RIM still exist at the end of 2014?
I think RIM still will exist by the end of this year. Okay, so that's one thing.
Google and Samsung you mentioned.
Well, here's the thing. Samsung today announced, which I actually had expected, that they had a very bad Q4. Their earnings were way down. They had, I don't know if you saw, like, they made a fool of themselves at CES. Okay,
I did not see.
Didn't they do that last year too? Oh my God, yeah, they're very good at this. Okay, Jesus Christ. They invited, who the heck was it, Michael Bay, the director of Transformers, on stage, apparently, to do some endorsement shit. And he was just supposed to be reading off a teleprompter. Well, the teleprompter died. The guy apparently just had no conviction regarding anything he was talking about. And he just went and just walked off the stage. Just left everybody just, okay, well.
I guess he's done.
I guess he's done. Yeah, basically, yeah. Okay, it was just really, really bad. Okay,
you'd think they'd give him, like, paper that he could read off of the teleprompter book.
Yeah. Well, no. Apparently, the host just asked him just a simple question, you know, about the product, and the guy was just like, you know, you could tell it's like
I'm out. I don't know.
I don't know fucking shit about this thing.
They just paid me to read this.
They just paid me to read this fucking bullshit.
Okay, so what's your prediction about Samsung? Enough about what's happening right now. We'll get back to that.
I think that this year is not going to be a good year for Samsung. The reason I'm saying that is because, you know,
Samsung as a whole has lots and lots of businesses. It's not just this tech stuff.
Agreed. But over the last couple of years, the lion's share of their profits has come from mobile phones.
Okay.
And, you know, they really, you know what, this year got clobbered near the end of the year in the high end by Apple, really bad, okay? And basically, you know, they have been trying to coax all these people to be like developers for their phones and not Google. And I think that really, you know, Google right now has an interest in basically, you know, not making a lot of money in this mobile platform and basically undermining Samsung at every stretch. And I think that they'll do a lot of that this year, and I think that Samsung will suffer for it this year throughout the whole year substantially. So
now, one of the predictions last year was you predicted Samsung would fork Android and go their own direction. Are you going to predict that for 2014?
I don't know if I'm gonna. I don't know if they're gonna fork Android specifically. I'm not sure what their plan is, because Samsung in the software space is just really like nobody understands what the hell they're trying to do. If I'm honest, I'm not sure they're gonna do something like that. I think, but I just don't. It just seems like they're all of a sudden they're caught flat-footed in a defensive position that they didn't expect themselves to be like right now, and I'm not sure how the hell they're going to react. So I don't know. My prediction is that Google will actively undermine Samsung this year in a way that you will see Samsung profitability suffer substantially all of this year because of it.
Okay. Google.
I don't know. Who knows what the fuck they're thinking? Listen, they like their stuff.
Oh, by the way, I have no predictions on Samsung.
Okay. Right,
Google.
I mean, Google's spinning out a whole bunch of stuff, and let's face it, they have a very profitable engine, just like Microsoft had. One of the things is like Google reminds me a lot of Microsoft. Microsoft for many years spent money on all this other. I mean, you look at the product list that Microsoft turned into such a huge podgepodge of stuff, and Google is kind of like that. They have this core that makes tons of money, and then they just spend money on all this other crap and not figure out how to make money on any of it, whether it's the phones, whether it's this, whether it's that. I mean, Microsoft did their thing like Xbox and all this other stuff and whatever, never make any money on it, never to whatever, but all this stuff. I mean, Google continue to be successful this year. I mean, I don't doubt it. I mean, they've got a very strong revenue engine. I just don't see that they're any of all of these things that they've spun out is turning into something that is going to be a game changer. So they're just going to be in a lot of a similar position as they were at the beginning of the year, basically.
So no big changes for Google over the course of the year.
No, I just don't see that. It's like, for example, it's like that question about Google Glass. Because I don't think anything that Google's going to come out with like in this year is going to be called like some kind of like a massive game changer. I just don't see it. I'm not saying that Google's going to suffer, but I'm just not saying that they're coming out with anything revolutionary. That we're going to be like the answer. Oh wow, oh my God, the new Google. I don't know.
Thing.
Right. Yeah. I just don't see it.
Okay. Sports, entertainment, anything? Anything? Last call?
Sports or entertainment. I got nothing.
You're not going to do like a Super Bowl or World Series pick or anything.
I am
like
definitely
that.
Not making a Super Bowl prediction, that's for sure. No.
It's only like a couple weeks away, isn't it?
I know, and they're all in the playoffs. I have one team that I want to win, and I don't want to jinx it. I'm not going to say who that is.
Okay. I guess we'll wrap it up then.
Okay, well, that's the wrap for our predictions.
Yeah, that's our predictions, and tune in the first week of January 2015 to find out how we did. And, I'm not going to make a prediction on our accuracy versus last year either.
No, I think we'll maybe be somewhere in line with it.
I'm not making a prediction.
You're not making a prediction?
I'm not making a prediction.
I'm going to predict that we're somewhere 5% plus or minus within the range of what we did this year.
Okay.
There you go.
There's Yvonne being bold.
There you go.
So that's it. Thanks for everybody for listening to our prediction show. If anybody else out there has any predictions they want to add, send them our way, and maybe we'll write them down and talk about them too. But, probably not. We'll probably forget. But if you want to have any predictions in there, send them in, and we'll read them out loud in one of our next shows. Just
absolutely.
Yeah.
There you go.
So that's it. Yet another year gone by, Yvonne.
Another year.
It's amazing how these just keep chugging along, you know. Thanks everybody for listening to Curmudgeon's Corner, not just this week, but all year long. We really appreciate it. You know where to reach us. I'm at abelsmay@abelsmay.com. I'm abelsmay on Twitter. Yvonne's imbo on Twitter. And we love to hear from you. And next week, for the first time in several weeks, unless something unexpected comes up, we'll be back to a normal show where we talk about the events of the day, whatever happens to be in the news. So, have a good week, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.